This story is about a team of mashkichim who were sent to Washington State to supervise and oversee the gigantic harvest of tons and tons of grapes. Known as the grape crush to those in the business, the harvest lasts about a month, and throughout all that time, these mashkichim are always on call to make sure everything is carried out al pi halacha. Separated from civilization by 50 miles of vineyards and apple orchards, it was boring work, but it paid very well. When Rav Tzvi Rothstein, one of the mashkichim, arrived at the hotel, he immediately inquired if there would be enough men for a minyan for davening throughout their stay.
Oh, Rav Gershon.
Shalom Aleichem, Batsarcha.
We have 10 people here, right?
We have 11 people, Kenei Nahara, Kenyiru, V'chein Yifroch, V'yakutu, Mitoch B'nei Yisrael.
And what about a Sefer Torah?
Oh, Frek's a good sailor. Well, Rav David's the one that hooks it up. Chabim gefrek before, and he said he doesn't know. So, I definitely don't know.
Okay, I actually happen to think that's not such a problem. We could just call a shul in the area and ask if we could borrow a Sefer Torah for Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos.
Rav Tzvi got hold of a phone book for the three nearest cities. The only synagogue he found was Temple Beth Israel in the city of Yakima.
Thank you for calling Temple Beth Israel. Please note that the deadline for reservations for the Sisterhood annual picnic is on September 5th. Journal ads will still be accepted until September 10th. To book a bar or bat mitzvah, press 1. For the youth program, press 2. For the Sisterhood, press 3. For Rabbi Jerry Goldberg, press 4. Your call is being transferred. Hi, Temple Beth Israel. This is Jerry speaking. How can I help you?
Hi, Jerry. My name is Tzvi Rothstein, and I'm here in Washington State as part of a team of kashrut supervisors from the OU. We're here to oversee the grape crush.
Excuse me? The grape what?
The grape crush. That's the grape harvest that takes place at this time of year. And we're here to supervise the harvesting to make sure everything runs smoothly, kashrut-wise.
Oh, I see. It's actually really cool, but tell me, what can possibly be non-kosher about a grape?
Okay, well, a number of things. First of all, there could be a case where, let's say, someone who's not Torah observant touches the processed wine and thereby renders it Yayin Nesach.
Okay, I'm afraid I'm not really familiar with what you're talking about.
That's okay. It's really very simple. You see, by Torah law, we as Jews are not allowed to drink wine that was touched by someone who's not Shomer Shabbat, right? So we're just here to make sure that that doesn't happen. And I'm calling because I need a favor from you.
Okay, shoot.
Okay, so it's like this. We're going to be here for a while, and we very much want to know if we could possibly borrow a Torah scroll.
Oh, so you guys are having a bar mitzvah?
A bar mitzvah? No.
A bar mitzvah?
No. We read from the Torah every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbat, regardless whether there's a bar mitzvah or whether there's no bar mitzvah. Makes no difference.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's very interesting, because here at the temple, we only read the Torah on Simchat Torah, or of course when there's a bar mitzvah on.
Okay, well, it would seem that we Orthodox Jews are slightly old-fashioned in the way we practice, and we do things the way the rabbis prescribed them thousands of years ago, right? So, since they read from the Torah 3 times a week, so do we.
Okay, that's cool. Now, listen, I'd love to help you, but I'm just the rabbi in training here, and at this point, I don't possess the authority to permit you to remove a Torah scroll from the sanctuary. To do that, you'll have to speak to Dr. Lieberman, the temple's president.
Okay, what kind of doctor is Dr. Lieberman?
Well, he's an anesthesiologist, and he's actually in charge of the three biggest hospitals in Yakima. So let me just get you his number here. It's Dr. Irving Lieberman, 509-555-5431.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Goldberg, so much.
You can call me Jerry.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jerry.
Have a good one.
Nusa, what happened, Lamaisa?
Okay, perfect. I gotta call this doctor who runs the Reformed Temple and the three biggest hospitals in the city and convince him to lend me a Sefer Torah. Does not sound very promising.
Hey, listen, we don't have any options.
But as it turned out, Reb Tzvi was wrong. The man who answered the phone spoke in a polite voice that radiated culture. It sounded as though he'd been around the world once or twice.
Okay, it doesn't sound like it should be a problem. Why don't we schedule a meeting for tomorrow? And if everything looks okay, I'll be happy to lend you the Torah scroll.
Sounds good to me.
So tomorrow at 2 o'clock?
You got it. See you there. Thanks a million.
No problem.
The next afternoon found Reb Tzvi and a few of his fellow mashkichim in Dr. Lieberman's office, seated comfortably around his large mahogany desk. The president was most cordial and offered them coffee and tea, which they politely declined.
Welcome, gentlemen. Pleasure to meet you all. Before we begin, and I hope you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a few questions about Judaism. I think This is my very first time I've had the pleasure of hosting Orthodox rabbis. So I'd like to take this opportunity to discuss some issues that have been bothering me for the past few years.
Sure thing, Doc. Fire away.
On his desk sat two stacks of notebooks.
So you see, this smaller pile of notebooks contains all of my Jewish knowledge. And this much larger pile, as you can see, contains all the questions I have on that information. So let me begin by asking, how do you know that the Torah is literally God's word? How do we know that it wasn't written by human beings?
And so the conversation ended up lasting much longer than they had scheduled for their meeting, but it was time well spent. The doctor was intelligent, articulate, and above all, genuinely interested in pursuing the truth. He seemed extremely impressed with the quality of the conversation. The mashkichim spoke with him for about 3.5 hours. And as they were wrapping things up, the doctor asked,
"By the way, do you know what tefillin are?"
Yes, we do. We actually put them on every day.
Do you think I would be able to have a chance as well?
Of course. You can borrow mine if you want. But are you ready to drive every day 90 miles from here to the Grape Crush and then 90 miles back?
Well, wouldn't you?
Okay, I guess that's settled then. No problem.
He then escorted them out of his office toward the sanctuary, a large but rather functional room with mild personality, and led them over to the Aron Kodesh. As he opened the Aron and removed the Sefer Torah he was lending them, he related the history of this particular scroll.
This Torah scroll was originally from Prague, and it somehow survived the war. Many years after the war, the temple received an offer to come and see if we needed anything from a large collection of Jewish artifacts, which was all that remained from the thriving Jewish community in Prague.
The Sefer Torah was very, very large, at least a third bigger than a regular Sefer Torah. The letters were huge, and the wooden handles were also much larger than on a normal Sefer Torah. There were designs carved in the wood and pesukim carefully edged around the handles. It was extremely heavy, and they handled it carefully. Before the mashkichim left, they arranged to see Dr. Lieberman the next day at Shacharis so that he could put on tefillin. Bright and early the next day, there he was, standing outside the motel, eagerly awaiting his chance to put on tefillin. Reb Tzvi helped him put them on, and as he sat there, wrapped in talis and tefillin, the doctor suddenly burst into tears. It was as if putting on the tefillin had unleashed a storm of emotion within him, and he didn't even know why. All his life, he had never put on tefillin, yet the moment he put them on for the first time, they had become a part of him. And something inside him just exploded. The mashkichim spent many more hours in conversation with Dr. Lieberman. And again, as before, the doctor was extremely impressed with them. He then invited them all to come down to Yakima for sukkahs. He promised to build a beautiful sukkah that would be completely kosher according to halacha. They gratefully accepted his invitation. The next day, the day before Erev Yom Kippur, Reb Tzvi received a call from his friend, Rabbi Moshe Feldbaum, who was the rabbi of a congregation in Portland, Oregon.
"Listen, Reb Tzvi, I desperately need a favor from you. You see, my mother is in the hospital, and the doctors say that the situation can change at any time. I don't know. But the thing is, if she needs surgery, which is a high possibility, it's the way it seems right now, I'm going to have to be away from my congregation for at least part of Yom Kippur. I don't know how much, but I'm going to have to be away part of Yom Kippur. So would you be able to come down to Portland and lead the davening if I'm away?"
"First of all, refuah shleima to your mother. Second, for you, Moshe, anything. I'll see you in Meretz Hashem tomorrow, okay? Besuras tovus."
The question remained, however, as to what to do with the Sefer Torah over Yom Kippur. A few of the mashkichim were joining Reb Tzvi in the drive to Portland, and the others were also leaving for Yom Tov to other locations to have the chance for a normal Yom Kippur davening. Not wanting to leave the Torah unguarded for over 48 hours, Reb Tzvi received permission from Dr. Lieberman to take the Torah along with him to Portland for Yom Kippur. The drive to Portland was long and tedious. They arrived on Erev Yom Kippur at the home of a very relieved Rabbi Feldbaum.
Oh, Shalom Aleichem.
Aleichem Shalom.
Thank you so much for coming. You're mamash a lifesaver.
My pleasure. We're trying to hop around all the schusim we can get before Yom Kippur.
He took them to shul to show them around. The scene looked like something straight out of Europe. The Jews that settled in Portland before and after the war probably wanted something that reminded them of home. It was a huge, beautiful structure with shining wood, elaborate chandeliers, and polished floors.
Okay, so here is the main sanctuary. And look up there, that's the balcony for the women. And just outside is the social hall.
Wow, it's very impressive.
It was just a shame that it was hardly ever used.
Look, even on Yom Kippur, most of the people who come here are Holocaust survivors and their grandchildren who come to spend the day with them.
Somehow, the second generation lost out. Reb Tzvi stood there, looking around at the rows and rows of empty seats in the cavernous synagogue, crying to be filled by Yidden who never came. They moved the Sefer Torah into its temporary home and then went to prepare for the big day. Reb Tzvi to work on his davening and Rabbi Feldbaum to work on his drasha. Yom Kippur morning found Reb Tzvi as the Shliach Tzibur for Shacharis. The doctors had in fact informed Rabbi Feldbaum shortly before Yom Kippur that his mother needed to be operated on before the night was over, and he had left to the hospital right after Meir of the night before. Almost the entire shul was filled with older people and a handful of younger ones. Reb Tzvi lained for them as well, since Rabbi Feldbaum still wasn't back yet. But he returned in time for Musaf, with the news that everything had gone well, Baruch Hashem, and the day suddenly felt lighter, and everything seemed more favorable. Rabbi Feldbaum davened Musaf with the joyful feelings of a man with much to thank Hashem for. After Musaf, the rabbi went back to the hospital, so Reb Tzvi continued and led the congregation through Mincha and Maftir Yona. It was then that he was informed that he was expected to deliver a sermon, a speech, before Ne'ilah. He was unprepared and in not much of a mood to deliver a sermon, but when he saw them all sitting there, all those people, all those Yidden, waiting with expectant looks, he felt that he couldn't let them down. So he rose to speak.
Before I begin, let me just say that, as you know, I'm just filling in for the rabbi today. And as I was not expecting to speak, I didn't have a chance to prepare a proper sermon in honor of the day. But as I was reading the Torah earlier, I was struck by an inspiring idea. You see, this particular Torah scroll that I brought with me from Washington State is part of a long journey spanning over 60 years. It came all the way to America from Prague sometime after the war. And then just recently, from the city of Yakima to the vineyards of Washington State. And then, because of a random twist of events, today it's being used on the holiest day of the year in Congregation Me'ahava in Portland, Oregon. So just earlier, the following thought occurred to me. You see, the Torah is the neshama, the soul of the Jewish nation, and it will forever live on. I stand here today in front of a congregation consisting of many of whom survived the worst Gehenna the world has ever known. Most of you lost parents and siblings to the Nazi murderers, Yimach Shemam. But there's one thing we cannot forget. As much as it seems that they're gone, nothing can be further from the truth. Their bodies may be gone, but their neshamas, their souls,
are here with us. Just like the Sefer Torah from Prague is here.
Suddenly, an elderly man from the audience stood up and walked toward Reb Tzvi. Tears were streaming down his cheeks as he said,
I want to tell everybody something. I am one of a small group of survivors from the city of Prague.
The shul was silent as everyone waited to hear what was coming.
Do you know something? I was honored last night to stand by the bime with the Sefer Torah in my hands. And you know which one I was holding? It was the tall Sefer Torah, the one that you brought here from Prague. And last night, when I was holding the Torah, I am feeling a connection to it, like no other connection to a Sefer Torah since my bar mitzvah in Prague. I recognize the wooden handles and the engravings on the edges, but I wasn't sure. But now I know, this is the Sefer Torah from my hometown. This is the Sefer Torah that I learned from by my bar mitzvah. This is my Sefer Torah.
Tears of joy and hope were coursing down his cheeks. There wasn't a dry eye in the entire shul. The old man continued.
The Sefer Torah and myself, we are both survivors. But like you say, they can try and try, but they will never be able to take our neshumas away from us.
Reb Tzvi Rothstein never experienced a ne'ilah in his life, before or since, like the ne'ilah on that Yom Kippur. Reb Tzvi returned to Yakima many times since that remarkable trip and witnessed a profound change in a community that had been given up for dead. Quite a few of those non-religious couples are completely frum today, and Dr. Lieberman is stronger than ever in his Yiddishkeit, all because of something known as the grape crush.